Welcome to another broadcast of Studying the Scriptures. I'm your host, Dr. Todd Baker, director of Berit Hadashah Ministries in Dallas, Texas. Today we continue our messianic study of the Feasts of Israel. And we are currently looking at the eighth feast on the festival calendar of Judaism. And that would be the Feast of Hanukkah, the Feast of Dedication. We looked at the historical roots for this feast, how it is based in the Maccabean revolt and the miracle of the rededication of the temple that was desecrated by the pagan tyrant Antiochus Epiphanes when the Maccabean Jews defeated his forces and gained the temple back. They discovered that the menorah, the golden lampstand that stood in the holy place, had only enough oil for a day's burning. And it would take them 8 days to replenish the burning oil. And they prayed, and that one day's supply miraculously lasted for 8 days, so the candle could continue to burn. And the golden lampstand with the light represents the eternal Spirit of God who gives life and light and understanding of His ways to Israel and through them to the nations. And so, the golden lampstand did have theological and messianic significance during the miracle of Hanukkah. And we further went and saw how the events, the historical events in Hanukkah, are a preview of the events during the tribulation period when Israel will experience its worst persecution at the hands of the last Gentile tyrant and who will rule over the fourth and last Gentile power. That would be the Antichrist, who finds his prophetic type in the Syrian Greek tyrant Antiochus Epiphanes, who likewise sought to destroy the Jewish people. And on that theme, we discovered that the acts and the personality of Antiochus Epiphanes is an exact prophetic parallel with the coming Antichrist. And so, picking up on that, let me just say on this point that when it is all said and done, the ancient rabbis also saw in Antiochus a type and shadow of the final Gentile oppressor of the Jews. That would be the Antichrist. The rabbis refer to him as Armillus. And they had a name for Antiochus Epiphanes. The ancient rabbis referred to Antiochus as Harashah. They referred to him by the Hebrew name Harashah, which means the wicked one. Sound familiar? The Antichrist to come is also called by the Apostle Paul in 2 Thessalonians 2:8, the wicked one. Paul calls the Antichrist the wicked one, the same term the rabbis use for Antiochus Epiphanes. And so the parallels come to their focus, their most focused conclusion, with the fact that both Antiochus was called the wicked one and the coming of the Antichrist is also given that infamous appellation, the Wicked One. Now, let's move on. Let's talk about Hanukkah as we have it today. Hanukkah celebrated today. It's modern observance among the Jewish community. You have to remember that for the last 2,160 years or so, Hanukkah and the observance and celebration of it has changed and evolved throughout the last 21 centuries or so. First of all, Hanukkah is a time of lights. Those of you who live in major cities, when you drive through the neighborhoods in early December, you might notice a lampstand in the window with their lights on, lights from 9-branch lampstand. Well, that is a menorah, and that home is a Jewish home. They are celebrating Hanukkah. The principal ceremony with Hanukkah is the lighting of the candles of the menorah. And Hanukkah lasts for 8 days. So each night a new candle is lit. The first night, the first candle is lit. The second night, the second candle is lit, and then the first candle. And then with each subsequent night, the candle of that night or numeric designation is lit first, and then the other candles that were lit in the prior days are lit afterwards. The Hanukkah candle is different from the menorah, or the Hanukkah menorah is different from the standard 7-lamp menorah that stood in the Mishkan, the tabernacle, and the Bet Hamikdash, the temples, the two temples in Jerusalem. It has eight candles on it. And there is an additional 9th candle that is usually in the center or the first candle to the right of the lampstand. Usually it is the center candle. The 9th candle is there. And with that candle, all the other 8 candles are lit. This 9th candle, called the reservoir candle, is in Hebrew referred to as Shamash. That word means servant. So the 9th candle is called the servant candle because it is used to light the other 8 candles. Each night of Hanukkah, 1 additional light is lit using the Shamash or the servant candle until all are lit on the 8th, 9th of Hanukkah. Now again, the Shamash candle provides the light for the other candles. And no surprise here, we have a beautiful picture of the Messiah and His giving of the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh. Messiah is referred to as the servant of the Lord in Isaiah 42. And throughout Isaiah 42 and on, the servant of the Lord is mentioned several times in Scripture. So the Shamash candle, the servant candle, is responsible for lighting the other candles. And so too is the Messiah, the servant of the Lord. He is the light of Israel, and he will be a light to the Gentile world. And that is quite significant. The servant of the Lord, the Messiah Himself, as the Shamash gives the enlightenment as the light of the world, as the light of Israel, He gives enlightenment and understanding of God's plan of redemption through Him. When we read about the servant of the Lord, the Shamash HaMashiach, the servant Messiah, Isaiah gives a twofold portrait of Him. First of all, He will be despised, falsely accused, rejected by His people, and He will die for the transgressions of Israel and the nations. And then, secondly, He will reign and rule and be exalted above all when He returns. And He will be a light, as we are told. He will be a light to the Gentile nations. And so, this is the dual role of the Messiah, the servant of the Lord. Isaiah 42 mentions Messiah as the servant of the Lord, the one who gives the light of the revelation of who the true God is to the Gentile nations, and He gives the light of revelation pertaining to the true identity of Messiah first to Israel. And that person was Yeshua HaMashiach. Now remember on the Feast of Pentecost in the New Testament in Acts 2, when the Lord Jesus ascended, He would give them the Holy Spirit whereby they would be enlightened to the ministry and program of Messiah from the present age until His return to earth. And when He gave the Holy Spirit, what was the physical / supernatural manifestation of that? The tongues of fire that came down and alighted upon the disciples. Again, it was a time of lights. The Messiah, when He sent the Spirit, confirmed such with the supernatural manifestation of light. And so this is in keeping with the theme of Hanukkah, a time of lights, a time when God would send His servant to bring the light of salvation to Israel. And the Hanukkah menorah is a beautiful symbol and picture of that redemptive reality. In Israel, every year when Hanukkah is celebrated on the eve of this great holiday, marathon runners are sent to the village of Moedim, the place where the events of the Maccabean revolt led to Hanukkah itself. Once they are there, they are given torches. The torches are lit in Moedim from the big Hanukkah menorah. And then the runners take these torches and run to Jerusalem, where a formal procession is held and ceremony is held at the western wall of the temple. And there they kindle the great menorah standing in the esplanade, a very beautiful ceremony. Hanukkah is also a time of the giving of gifts. The giving of gifts. This is more of a modern observance of Hanukkah rather than one that was part of the ancient observance of Hanukkah. The giving of gifts is especially popular among Jewish people in America, and some believe it was influenced by the tradition of giving gifts on Christmas. And in order to emulate and perhaps counteract this tradition, Jewish people exchange gifts on each of the 8 nights of Hanukkah. So it's a time of giving of gifts. And again, you could say this points again to what the Messiah has done when He gave us the enlightening presence and ministry of the Holy Spirit. This is God's torch in the believer's life, so to speak. And with that, and with the giving of the Holy Spirit to commence the church age, He also gave the church the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so you have the lighting ceremony in Hanukkah, and then the distribution of gifts on each night of Hanukkah. So too has Messiah, the light of the nations, so too has He given the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit for the church's edification, growth, and understanding. So again, we have a parallel between Hanukkah and the ministry of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. Hanukkah is also a special time of the year for Tzedakah, which is the Hebrew word for charity. And this is particularly demonstrated by acts of charity towards the blind community. The reason why the Jewish people choose to do acts of charity towards the blind is because the blind cannot enjoy the visual beauty of the lighting of the Hanukkah menorah. Hanukkah is also a time of games. Children especially derive great fun from the popular game using the dreidel, which is a four-sided top which is spun with Hebrew letters on each side. And depending upon where the top lands, you either receive a candy or a coin, or if it lands on another side, you have to put what you have in the pot. Hanukkah is also a time of the enjoyment of pastries. For instance, the latkes, or the jelly-filled donuts, sufganiyot, the jelly-filled donuts and the latkes that are eaten. Now, another subject that should be broached while we are studying Hanukkah is, what is the significance, the biblical significance for the 8 days of Hanukkah? What is the significance there? Because, again, the number 8 in Scripture is a significant number, as are all the numbers given in Scripture. According to the Talmud, the oral law of Judaism, it took 8 days to rededicate and rebuild the altar by the Maccabeans. Hanukkah, therefore, is celebrated for 8 days to reflect this reality. However, we seek for a much deeper explanation for the 8 days and their significance. In Scripture, an 8-day period always signified either dedication or a new beginning. Let's look at the dedication meaning. There was either an object or a person that was to be set aside for 7 days, and then on the 8th day it was designated as holy to the Lord. We have several examples in Scripture of this practice among the Jewish people. The firstborn animals that came out of Egypt and thereafter when Israel inherited the land God gave them, they were to consecrate their firstborn animals to God, and then on the 8th day they would be used in consecration to Him. These animals, no doubt, were the animals of sacrifice by and large. Hebrew males were circumcised on the 8th day. Brit is the succinct description of that ceremony that is still carried out today in the Jewish community. Circumcision. This was to signify that a new day began for that infant child as his parents committed him to the Torah and would raise him according to God's covenant, legal covenant that He made with Israel. The altar in the tabernacle, and then later in the temple, was sanctified for 7 days, and on the 8th day, it was declared to be holy. The 8th day, it was deemed holy to the Lord, and was now ready to be used in the atoning sacrifices. And going into the New Testament, we know that the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead on the 8th day of the week in the Jewish calendar, which in our calendars would be the day of Sunday. The 8th day, the Lord Jesus rose and inaugurated the new age of eternal life and resurrection for those who believe in Him. And so 8 has a significance then. It also has another reason for why it's celebrated for 8 days. When you compare it with how the Feast of Tabernacles was celebrated. Tabernacles, if you remember from our study of that feast, had a water libation and lighting ceremony. Both were carried out for the full 8 days of Sukkot or Tabernacles. And so also Hanukkah, being like a second observance of Tabernacles, in much the same way, the lighting of the candles goes on for 8 days, and with that, the singing of the Hallel, which comprises Psalms 113 through 118. So in three feasts of Israel, the Hallel is recited. Passover, Sukkot, and Hanukkah. Why is Hanukkah considered to be like Tabernacles, a festival of lights? Well, remember that when Melech Shlomo, or King Solomon, dedicated the first temple to the Lord, he did so at the Feast of Tabernacles. That dedication was accompanied by the coming of the Shekinah glory of God, and the fire consumed the animal sacrifices on the altar. And as the centuries passed, the Feast of Tabernacles became associated with the impressive lighting ceremony. And so Hanukkah also, in a way, parallels this. It was after the rededication of the sacrificial altar that the lighting ceremony of Tabernacles was memorialized. Now, let's observe the New Testament mention of Hanukkah in relationship to the ministry of Messiah. If you go to John 10, specifically John 10:22, you read there that during Jesus' ministry in Judea, southern Israel, and more particularly in the temple, that he too observed and celebrated Hanukkah. He went there, no doubt, to celebrate the great lighting of the Hanukkah menorah for 8 successive days. John 10:22 tells us this. Now it was the feast of dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter, and Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, "How long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Note here that he was walking in Solomon's porch, a place where he did much of his teaching. And remember, Solomon is the one who dedicated the temple during the Feast of Tabernacles, and the Shekinah glory came and enveloped the temple. So here we have God again in the temple, like in the days of Solomon, only in a much greater way. He came in the person of Yeshua. So God's glory in the body of Messiah Jesus was now being revealed in the temple during Hanukkah. The light of God was shining its brightest in the person of the Messiah at this point in time in history and in Jewish history. And the Jewish people should have seen it and accepted it. And instead, many of them still did not believe he was the Messiah up to this point in Jesus' ministry. Even though his miracles and his brilliant teaching given as evidence for his messiahship, even though these two things were given to prove who he was, they ignored them or refused to accept these credentials proving he was the Messiah. But take note here, it was during Hanukkah, which was also the celebration of deliverance and freedom from Gentile or foreign oppression. And so these kind of thoughts were lingering in the religious leaders' minds along with their followers. And so they come up to Jesus and ask cynically, "If you're the Messiah, tell us plainly." And Jesus tells them, "I've already told you and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me." John 10:25. But if you do not believe, but you do not believe because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you. And so they had the miracles. The miracles were the light by which the true identity of Yeshua was disclosed during the Feast of Hanukkah, which also emphasizes the light of God in a dark world. And so, because Jesus, as the Messiah, did not meet their preconceived ideas of what a Messiah would be, they rejected him. What were those preconceived ideas? Well, they believed that the Messiah was strictly a military leader, and like a great general, he would defeat the Romans, remove their yoke of oppression off the land of Judea, and liberate the Jewish people. And that was it. They utterly failed to see that there is a spiritual dimension to the Messiah's mission and ministry, and they also failed to see that the Messiah himself would be God in the flesh. So their thoughts were not lofty enough. Their idea of the Messiah was greatly truncated and limited to the physical, the political, and the military realm, much like the Orthodox today who think the same way. They believe that once the Messiah comes, he will bring political peace to all of the world, and he will defeat and destroy Israel's enemies among the nations. And that's partially true. He will do that. But that's not all the Messiah was prophesied to do. We know from Isaiah 53, Psalm 22, Daniel 9, 26, that Mashiach would first suffer and die for the sins of Israel and the nations, and then be cut off. And then after a long period of time in which God gathers out an elect body of people from the Gentile nations to form the believing community of Messiah, then Mashiach will return, and then he will carry out in a military capacity, for lack of a better word, deliverance for the Jewish people, Revelation 19. So, the idea that the Messiah would be a military leader was misplaced when Messiah came the first time. It was misplaced by the Jewish nation. They could not see that he must first suffer and die, be raised from the dead, ascend to heaven, and then return. And they will receive the spiritual peace and the atonement for sins that he wrought on the cross when Messiah comes back and the Jewish people finally receive that salvation in their lives. And so Jesus tells them that I am more than just this military Messiah that you are reflecting on based upon the events of Hanukkah with the Maccabean revolt. In fact, I and my Father, goes on to tell them in John 10, Jesus says to them, I and my Father are one. I am more than just a military Messiah. I am divine. And I bear the perfect will and character of the one who sent me, and that would be Yahweh, the God of Israel. We would know him as God the Father. Well, I see that my time is escaping me once again. Please write to us. We need your support as we carry out this teaching ministry among the body of Christ and as we continue to take the gospel of Yeshua back to his people, the Jewish people in Israel. Until next time, Shalom Yeshua HaMashiach Alechem. May the peace of Jesus the Messiah be with you.